Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back to another week of our Daily Bread Sermon and More Spiritual Food for the Soul. Hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful week and also a blessed and wonderful day. Everything is good here in Texas. Nice, warm, and sunny for as long as it could be. It's good to enjoy these nice, warm summer days before it turns cold here pretty soon. About a month, I can see the weather is probably going to change in a few weeks. We'll start seeing more 60 and 70 degree weather, and then eventually 50 degree and lower weather days. I don't too much in particularly care for cold weather. I am a warm-blooded person. I prefer 80. I'll take 95 degrees and higher any day rather than a 60-degree day. That's just me because I like warm, hot weather. I guess, again, I was born down here in the South, so I really enjoy it. It's nice and pleasant here, and it has been for a few days. Make sure that we are praying for those in Florida that were affected by the hurricane. Make sure we are saying a word for them, that they're being protected and that they're that they're safe, amen. I have a brother that lives down in Florida, and he was telling me how they had a Category 2 hurricane. So make sure we're praying for those guys. And also make sure that we continue to pray for our nation and the leaders of the world, that they're making right and better decisions for everyone during this pandemic, during this age. We're praying for our spiritual leaders definitely as well, that they continue to intercede for those who have been affected by this pandemic in the entire world as a whole. Make sure you're praying for the believers, the brothers and sisters in Christ. We are lifting them up wherever they may be, that they may stay strong, that they may be able to pray for the world, and that the world be a better place, amen, until the end, all right, amen, at least until Christ come back, because we already know about when the great tribulation time comes. Amen. Amen. So I just want to make a quick announcement. My show title will actually be changing from Spiritual Sense Life to Reign in Love Ministries, which is the name of my church, which we are a real official church. As our official church name has always been Reign in Love Ministries. So I decided to change the church show from, well, the ministry show from Spiritual Sense Life to the church name, which is Reign in Love Ministries. Again, rain is not like the rain that falls from the sky, but we reign in Christ, so Christ reigns, R-E-I-G-N, Reign in Love Ministry. So I decided to change that name to the church name. Also, I will be on the air live tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. West Coast time, and 7 o'clock East Coast time. I decided to go at an earlier time. I started to go for a later time, but I decided to do it early because I know most people who do go to work on Monday will be preparing for the new week. So I didn't want, and then I know that people have to get their kids back in school, so I didn't want to hold the show too late, because I want to make sure that we kind of get that Bible study out of the way for you, and therefore you'll be able to go and continue on your day. The Holy Spirit has led me to start back teaching the Bible, regular Bible studies. And the reason for it is because there are a lot of people who have been saved and been touched, and so we want to make sure that we're leading them and guiding them as new believers in Christ. So the Holy Spirit has led me to start back teaching on that. I'm going to continue to teach eschatology, which is the study of end time things, which is revelation. The Holy Spirit told me this year, in January 2020, to tell the people about the return of Christ. This study is going to continue. In fact, so after I finish the book of Revelation, what you must understand is the book of Revelation goes so deep. The whole Bible is really about Revelation. It leads up to Christ, the day of Christ, and his reign for 1,000 years, and then his eternal reign. So the whole entire book is really about points towards Revelation. And so the book of Revelation is a book that you can actually teach in a lifetime. You can't get enough of teaching Revelation. In fact, from the sources and resources and the information that I have and the books that I have, from school and just the books that I've accumulated through the years for Revelation, there's so much information. I can teach on Revelation for the rest of my life. And the reason why I say that, because you can look at the things that are going on in the world. There's just so much information about the Bible and Revelation. So I'm going to continue the study of eschatology teaching on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. You'll be able to hear me teach about end time events and things that's going on according to the world that we live in today. This won't end after Revelation. We will continue to teach on eschatology. It's a lot that could be said about Revelation. It's blessing me as well because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm being blessed by studying all this extra information, which, you know, when you're in class and studying, they only tell you, you know, they only give you so much to study. My personal study is more in depth, meaning that I'm breaking down the actual scriptures. I'm going in depth with the scriptures. When you're in school, they may say, hey, study chapter Revelation chapter 13 about the Antichrist. And that was it. That would be it. You may have a test or a quiz or an exam about Revelation chapter 13. So anyway, long story short, we're going to go ahead and move forward and get into Revelation 6. We didn't get to finish it the other week because it's a lot. So I don't want to hold you all because I actually found over in my little book, which I couldn't find last week, which was a mystery to me, but I found it this week. So I got it bookmarked. I made sure that I kept it bookmarked today, make sure I didn't lose it, so therefore I can present it to you. And then we're going to go ahead and finish up Revelation chapter 6. Hopefully we'll finish it up today. And next week we'll be getting into Revelation chapter 7. Revelation is getting deep. Revelation is a very symbolic book. It takes a lot of studying and preparation to present this information to you. We're going to be talking about the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7. And so, okay, so we've been dealing with the seven seals, okay, of Revelation chapter 6. But before we get started, I just want to say that I'm glad that you're all back for another Daily Bread sermon and food for the soul. Bless you all. I just want to send out a shout out to the Chaos Talk Radio team and Derek Oliver for blessing us with this platform to reach people and to reach as many souls as we possibly can in these times to prepare you for the return of our Lord and Savior. Also, just want to say that I love each and every one of you. If no one has told you today that they love you, let me make sure to be the first one to tell you today that I love you. If no one else has told you, I really do mean that. You know that we talk about love. So there's something else that I wanted to tell you. I just can't think of what it is right now. But definitely, let me go ahead and read love. Amen. Let's go ahead and read the scriptures of love. I'm trying not to lose my bookmarks here. Got quite a few. So let's go ahead and go over to 1 Thessalonians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Let me slow down. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. And 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Amen. We're talking about love. So it says, but cover earnestly the best gifts and show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Heavenly Father, for another blessed day. We thank you for another opportunity of life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, dear Heavenly Father, to be better. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Christ, and his sacrifice. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son being obedient and for sending him to redeem us back to you, dear Heavenly Father, for blessing us with the greatest gift to mankind, which is eternal life. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the blessed spiritual gift. We thank you for love. We thank you for kindness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father, for we reach out and we bless and praise your holy name, Heavenly Father. We come praying that all flesh be removed and that your spirit may come in and take over and teach your people, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right, so without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into Revelation, the sixth chapter. I believe I stopped off at Revelation, the sixth verse, verse 8, I believe. That's where I last. I think I did a little bit of 9, but we're just going to go ahead and cover verse 8. I'm going to try to get this done today. I believe I can do it between verses 8 through 17. The reason why, because the Revelation chapter 6 is about the tribulation. Okay, it's the tribulation, just like a brief overview of the great tribulation, and that's what the seven seals are about, is the tribulation. Now, the last seal, actually the first six seals, are about the great tribulation. The last seal, the seventh seal, actually wasn't open until Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 is when the seventh seal was actually opened. And it was silence in heaven in that seventh seal. And it was the introduction of the next judgments that were to come. And so a lot of information. So I'm going to go in and mix it up a little bit with some of the information from my study guide book. And then I'm just going to kind of mix it in with the scriptures, because this is what I wanted to share with you last week, but couldn't. So this is what I want to share, because just in hearing some things out in the world, and just some things that I've heard, I just want to make a clarification about the tribulation, because I'm hearing some people say that the tribulation is only going to be 3.5 years. I don't know where that information came from, but no, the tribulation is actually 7 years. It's not 3.5 years. It's 7 years. Okay. And Daniel talked about, he actually prophesied it over in the book of Daniel. It was called the 70 weeks. And if you guys ever listen to Minister Elder Bazaar, he does a great job breaking down that 70 week. He does a good job breaking that down. So one day we have that brother to break that information down for us. But yes, the tribulation is actually a 7 year period. Now, do we have tribulation in our lives? Yes. Has there been tribulation since Christ has left the world? Of course it has. There's been tribulation since the beginning of time. Tribulation is troubled time, judgment, wrath, destruction, darkness. We've seen these things throughout in our own lives. We may have witnessed these things, like we may see wars, okay? That's tribulation. It may not be as much tribulation for you, but for those countries that are experiencing war, that's tribulation. That's troubled times for them. We can't imagine, you know, being in a country that's being bombed and people are shooting out around your house or out in public. That's troubling, okay? That's bits and pieces of tribulation that we see in life. And in the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about where pretty much most of us, we do live in peace, especially here in the U.S. in this country. We actually live in peace. We really do, compared to other countries and other nations. In other words, some people like to say, quote unquote, this is the greatest nation on earth, depending on your opinion, how you view it, meaning that you have freedom of speech. You have the right to go to the store you want. You can go where you want. You can do not what you want, but you're pretty free to pretty much have fun if you want to. Just kind of, you know, just get out and about, where some places are a little bit more restricted to where there are certain things that they can't do. Like, we can practice what we believe as far as our belief in God and the Most High. Some countries don't allow you to practice that freely. They may say, hey, you have to serve who we say serve. So, well, that's why, I mean, right now we have that peace. We have that. And there are other places in the world that are just like, pretty much similar to the U.S., to where you could do certain things. So that's what I mean when I say peace. I don't mean total peace, because we know there won't be total peace until Christ returns at the end of the great tribulation. Once he returns, then he's going to make total peace on earth. It says that over in Revelation, and for the next 1,000 years, it's going to be nothing but peace on earth. So we want to make sure that we clarify the times, because I believe that there's a confusion in the times. The people are confused what the times are. There are tribulation times throughout history of mankind. We understand that. But what Daniel prophesies and what Yeshua, Christ, prophesies was about a time on earth like there shall be none in history. It says, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Christ said that in Matthew 24, chapter verse 21. He had basically reiterated to his disciples the same thing that Daniel had prophesied over in Daniel the 12th chapter, verse 1. Okay? So they was actually pinpointing a specific time in history where there was going to be trouble like there had never been on earth, nor shall it be. Okay? They would prophesy that. So we know that that's going to actually happen. So you say, what is the tribulation? The tribulation period in which we're talking about, which is in Revelation, and then in specific, Revelation 6th chapter covers the tribulation, the 7-year period, and then the entire Bible points in details and outlines what? The great tribulation and tribulation, okay? Now, the tribulation, again, is 7 years, okay? Now, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is known what I call as the great tribulation, okay? And I think that's where the confusion is. The great tribulation is the last 3.5 years. Now, why is it the great tribulation, okay? That is the Lamb's wrath. That is Christ's wrath. That's the day of the Lord that the Bible points to. That's the time period in the last 3.5 years that Christ is going to pour out his wrath on the earth, on the unbelievers, okay? On the unbelievers, those who unbelieve will be punished and judged during that 3.5 years. And actually, you'll see tribulation from Lucifer, Satan, and the Antichrist the first 3.5 years, in which will continue into the last 3.5 years, so the entire 7-year period. But that last 3.5 years, Christ is going to pour out his wrath, okay? So I just want to make sure that I clarify that and make some clarification as to what the tribulation and the great tribulation is, which you can call it all together the great tribulation if you want to, because of what Daniel had prophesied and also what Christ prophesied. I just call it the entire 7 years the tribulation, but the last 3.5 years, I just call it the great tribulation, because there's going to be even more tribulation that last 3.5 years. Hey, guys, I tell you right now, go ahead and get your tickets. They're free. Go ahead and receive salvation today. If you don't know Christ, I'm going to give you some details on that. You don't want to be here. You can't prepare for it. There are people that, you know, they're hiding money. They're putting money, they're storing stuff. They're going to the store. They're buying up all this and that. People are trying to seal up and secure and buy guns and bullets. You cannot prepare for what's coming, okay? Nothing is going to prepare you for what's coming. And I was thinking today, well, Zach, because I went to some stores today, and this pandemic thing, I just have to be honest with you, it's actually getting on my nerves. I don't really go much, but, you know, I told you before that I kind of have this thing to where I'm not used to going out and dealing with this, and I don't go much as it is, but when I go, I have a tendency to forget this mask. I have a tendency to walk up to the store looking at everybody like, why everybody got masks on? It comes to my mind, oh, we're in this pandemic. I have to reach my pocket. So I try to keep it with me and put this mask on. And so saying that to say this, that the world is changing and preparing us for what's to come. We're preparing them. Let's put it like that, preparing them for what's to come, because we won't be here. I tell people that Revelation is not to scare the saints. It's not. You know, for years, pastors and preachers and teachers have avoided Revelation like the plague. It's not against us. We should be teaching Revelation, and this is an honor for me to be teaching, you know, pastors, teachers, ministers, overseers, and bishops, giving them information about Revelation, even the church itself, to learn, for you to know. Paul said, brother, I have you not to be what? Ignorant. In other words, it's for you to know. Christ gave it to John to give to the church for what? For us to know, not to avoid it, but to give it to the church. Okay, and so now is more prevalent than any time in history that the church is preaching this message. Because why? We know that we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. We see that every day. And I tell you all, people are so fearful of this mark of the beast. I tell some people, stop watching this, stop listening to certain people, and listen to, you know, people who's teaching the Bible like I'm teaching you the word. You know, stop listening to people who are scaring you about these chips. If you believe that, that's your protection, that's your escape. Become saved, receive salvation. You won't even be here when they come out with this chip and talking about you got to take this and you got to take that. You as the church will not even be here. The Bible says we will be out of here. Okay, for one, so you don't even have to worry about no chip. I tell people, why are you even worried about that? If you believe in Christ, you won't even be here. Okay, so don't let these things scare you. Revelation is not to scare us. That's why Christ is going to come back and get the church. Okay. So now I just want to talk a little bit, the tribulation. What is it? Okay, the Great Tribulation, again, is a seven-year period before the second advent of Christ, before Christ returns to get the church. Now, we talk about the first coming of Christ, which is his birth. Okay, the actual second coming is what? Okay, is at the end of the tribulation, the seven-year period. That's his second return. Now, the other part, which is in the middle, which is what we call the appearing of Christ, is which some call the rapture. I happen to call it the gathering together of the saints, because that's what Paul calls it in open 2 Thessalonians. He says it's called the first or second Thessalonians, but you all get the point, because I've taught on it before. So it is the gathering together of the saints. He's coming back to get the saints, okay? So when he comes back, he's going to appear in the air. He's not going to actually touch the earth, okay? He's not coming back to there. He's just going to appear in the sky, and he's going to shout, and that trumpet is going to blow, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And those of us who remain, if it's at this time while we're still alive, we shall be caught up. Amen, okay? So this is what we're talking about. And this is when Christ, when his divine judgment is poured on the earth, and in an unprecedented manner, you can't prepare for what's coming. No amount of money in your bank account, no type of prestige, no type of elite or name or group of people that you belong to, you will not escape the wrath of Christ. I don't care where you hide. They can put you deep in the earth a mile. You can go 30 miles in the earth if you want to. You will not hide from Christ, okay? You can forget about it. The Bible says he's omnipresent, okay? The Lord, the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, they're omnipresent. They're everywhere at all times, so you can't hide from wherever you think you can go, he's there, okay? You won't hide from his wrath, okay? So when sin comes to head under the leadership of what? Who? The Antichrist. So this is something that's very terrifying, because people are going about their everyday lives and, you know, and working for a financial institution. I understand how money is going away, okay? These are just certain signs of how things are coming, just unfolding. The prices of things are going up. I went into the store today and just was shocked and amazed. I had a handful of things, and I spent almost $100 today. I'm just shocked at the prices of things now, to where your dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. And so I said that in you know, you think about the scripture of Revelation, when we talked about food, how food is going to be so expensive that, you know, a day's worth of work will basically feed one person, one adult, okay? And so it's going to be hard for people to survive during that time to eat, you know, because, you know, most of your earnings is going to go just trying to put food in your stomach. So people are going to probably be snacking during this time. You know, only people who have money. Because, see, we know that any time that there's any issues in the world, and I talked about this last week, the poor are most affected. So whoever's affected the most in this world right now by any type of tribulation, can you imagine what the tribulation is going to be like during the tribulation? Okay, can you imagine the things that you're going to deal with? Like, if poverty is harsh and horrible now, it's going to be unimaginable then. If people are starving now, can you imagine what it's going to be like during the tribulation? If you're dealing with racism now, can you imagine what racism is going to be like in the tribulation? If you're dealing with police brutality and police murdering or whatever, Can you imagine what it's going to be like during the tribulation? Can you imagine, just wars? You know, we talked about, you know, the different technologies that's going to be unleashed during this time period. And even now we see the Bible talks about that, you know, how knowledge will increase. It's going to increase even more within that seven-year period. It's going to have some incredible technology. And I talked about this last week, how there are some things that they have as far as technology that hasn't been even revealed or unfolded to us. So can you imagine leading up to this time and during that time period, the type of technology that they're going to have? So if you're affected some type of way now, it's going to be unimaginable. Okay, I can't say it's going to be times three or times ten. It's going to be unimaginable. It's going to be like, I can't believe this. I hear people now working at the bank, people say they just can't believe that we're living this time. People who have been on this earth 70, 80 years, that they've seen nothing like it. And they say, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself, wow, you think this is something? Can you imagine what it's going to be like if people don't receive salvation, if they don't receive Christ? It's going to be, again, unimaginable, unprecedented. You can't imagine what's coming, okay? There are things that John didn't even write. In fact, John was told to write, close, he said, seal the book, close the book, write no more. Even Daniel was told the same thing. I said, write no more. Stop writing. That's it. There are things that's going to take place on this earth that's not even revealed to us that we don't even know. There are things, Revelation says more than what we just say. Even when I'm studying, I see things that I don't reveal because I don't believe that people would be receptive to it. Because, again, I don't want to speculate too much. I definitely don't want to put my mind to it. But just some of the things that I just think of when reading and studying about Revelation. There are some unimaginable things that's going to happen during this time period. And to think that people are playing games out here and they act like they want to be here, a little part of Christ, they think it's going to be happy, happy joy when all the saints are called home, because they're going to say, oh, we don't have to worry about them anymore. We don't have to worry about them judging us. We can live our lives the way we want to. We can do what we want. They think it's going to be happy, happy joy when we leave. And they really think the world's going to go on for many years without us. They think, oh, we're free of them. We're free of these do-gooders over there, the judgment and them condemning us. They think everything is going to be fine. That's what they think. But little do they know, within 7 years, Christ is going to come back and destroy his enemies and put all his enemies under his feet. He's going to rule 1,000 years with the saints. They don't know that. They don't know that great punishment and judgments are coming within that seven-year period. And they don't understand the things that's going to happen in that seven-year period. Okay, so I just want to share that with you about, you know, the judgment, the wrath, the destruction that's coming, the darkness, you know, the revelation. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Revelation talks about there's going to be days on the earth where the sun is not going to shine a full day. That's going to be unimaginable. In other words, it's going to be dark majority of the day. Who would want to be here during that time period? I know I wouldn't. Now, you think about it now. If I'm out, and I could be wrong. I don't believe I am, but I believe the sun shines more now than it is dark. It's more sunshine than it is darkness, I believe. And I could be wrong, but I believe I'm right. You know, you wake up in the morning around, 5, 6 a.m., sun's out 7 a.m., depending on the season. Sun mostly goes down somewhere between 5, 6 to 10, 9 o'clock at night sometimes. Not 10, but probably 8 or 9. So you think about these seasons, the day and time we're in now, the sun shines more. But there's going to be a time in Revelation says that the sun is not going to yield. The sun is not going to shine. Not a full day. And you got to imagine that the evil things that's going to be going on this earth, darkness will prevail. You think people are robbing and stealing and killing now? Can you imagine? You think people are kidnapping and cutting up now? Can you imagine what they're going to be doing in that seven-year period? Within 7 years, we're talking about tens of millions. You look at the news now, tell people to stop watching some of this stuff. And people are disturbed. You know, some of my customers tell me, hey, man, you see that talking about during the holidays, it's going to be this many people dead. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I hate to hear that, but do you know what's coming? You know, I say I can't witness to them because, you know, I'm on the job, you know, and of course I'm not going to lose my income, my job, you know, trying to, you know, this is what this platform is for. And the Bible says that they have other opportunities. They have other people who minister to them, and hopefully they're ministering to them this word, okay? And I know I'm taking the time out to really share this information, but the Spirit is leading me to share this information with you before I get into the scriptures, because this, I was just really thinking and meditating on this past week. It's just like, wow, you know, the world is really just going on about the business. I'm talking to family and friends and family in other parts of the country, and they're telling me the same thing. You know, friends are telling me the same thing that's going on there. I think that's going on here too. You know, it's amazing how the world is just continuing on, you know, like nothing is nothing is waking them up. But this is what this opportunity is for. Romans 10:9-10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The Lord sent Christ to die for your sins. If you believe in him, you shall be saved. Receive salvation today. You know, we're not living, and you never have been living in a time to where you can second guess salvation. You have the opportunity now. Receive it. Okay? Just that simple. Okay? So now we dealt with the seven seals, okay? And the seven seals, okay, have been opened in Revelation, the sixth chapter. We talked about the great tribulation, the last half of this, okay? And we talked about in Revelation 8:1 how the silence is going to be in heaven, and that's when the seven trumpets are going to begin. Each judgment as they come kind of seems to bring more judgments, okay? We talked about the rider on the white horse, the Antichrist. That was the first seal. The second seal, the rider on the red horse, wars, threats, and terrorism. We talk about World War III. We know that the first two world wars were great, tragics, millions. I did research. I wasn't even aware that many people died. In these wars, there are so many people die in these wars that we don't think anything else because we're not there, we're not in it. But when I said millions of people died, that was just in the war alone. And then I read also that during the hunger, starvation, millions died from starvation. This is the thing that we've seen, the tribulation that we've seen in the past. And again, all these things are going to be compacted in 7 years and then multiplied to an unimaginable number. People are making light of this, like, oh, it's not going to be. You could take it the way you want to by what I read in the scriptures. It's going to be a very challenging time, okay? Famine. Economic ruin. We see that now. Economic ruin. This country is in trillions of dollars of debt. How in the world is a country that has had 400 years of slavery and free labor and made billions on top of billions of dollars, how does that fall into a negative? That's almost like you getting paid three times the amount of money on your job and you working part-time. I mean, or you know, let's say you had a business and you didn't have to pay anybody to do it. You just reap the benefits from your business, all profits, for many years. Then your children get the inheritance, and they run into ruin. We see economic ruin right now. That was the third seal, the ride on the black horse. Okay, the fourth seal, the ride on the pale horse. Death and Hades is now, which is where we're going to continue in Scripture, because where we stopped Revelation 6 and 8, okay? And we talked about during this time period, during the tribulation, the world is going to be full of unbelievers. Until when? Until the 144,000 will begin to preach and minister to people during the great tribulation, okay? So understand this. We also talked about the Holy Spirit allowing the Antichrist, Lucifer and the Antichrist, to come on the scene, okay? We talked about that. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, okay? That's verse 6. And it says, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 6, says, and now ye know what withholdeth, which is the Holy Spirit, that he might be revealed in his time. That's the Antichrist. And so it says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity do already work. That's the Antichrist. It's already behind the scenes. These people said the elite, the Illuminati, whoever, whatever you want to call them, these people who are behind the scenes, they're already working these evil Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist mysteries behind the scenes. So just like you have the Holy Spirit, you have a spirit that's against Christ, okay? It's already working in the world. It's not something that's that's is already happening now. Again, we saw that in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 18, 19, that it's already at work in the world. Then it says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be, he's going to be told to just move out of the way. Now, some say he's going to be moved out of the world. I don't believe that. Okay, I don't believe it. I believe the Holy Spirit, because he's omnipresent, is going to be still in the world. And that's how the 144,000 is going to be able to minister. He's going to be still in the world. He's just going to allow Satan and the Antichrist to do their thing. But understand that the Heavenly Father sits on the throne. He has all control. So he's only going to allow them to go so far. Okay? So remember that. So going back over to Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 again. I know we went over it last time. I'm going to read real quick. All right. So it says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Now, why does John write that death and hell followed with him? Well, it's simple. If you remember about maybe a month and a half ago when I preached about your spirit, when we die, you go somewhere. Okay, whether you a believer, there's only two kinds of people in the world. Let's not get this confused. There's only two kinds of people. Either you believe or you don't believe. That's it. There's no in between. There's no going back and forth. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as losing your salvation. That's a lie from the pits of hell. There's no in between. You're either saved or you're not saved. And we've established that from Revelation, the second chapter, verse, Revelation, the third chapter, actually. We've established that with the church of the Laodiceans. Okay? So we talk about this when it says death and hell follow. Well, during this time period of tribulation, there's going to be mostly nothing but unbelievers on the planet, okay? Nothing but unbelievers, okay? So when they die, what's next? This is what John is saying. When you die, when you leave this world and whatever these type of tragedies are going on during the seven-year period, well, even now when you die, if you are an unbeliever, what's next? Hell is next, okay? That's where you go when you don't believe. You die in this life, okay, however the way you leave this world. Let's say a person passes away and they sleep and they don't believe in Christ. Well, guess what? When they open their eyes on the spiritual side, they're in hell, okay? They're being carried to hell by death. Just like when you cut up out here in the world, the police officer come and get you where he take you. He take you to jail. You see that parallel? You see that? Okay, that's where you go. You go to jail until you're judged. Well, they go to hell until Christ come back to judge them, until they're being judged at the great white throne judgment. Okay, this is why John wrote what he wrote. Now, watch what he says. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now, you see verse 8 is concluding from the first previous verses, from verse 4 all the way to verse 7, is concluding these actions in which we talked about from the first previous seals, right? Because the Antichrist is going to be in the earth, okay? He's going to be revealed that first 7-year period when he comes. He's going to kick off the 7-year tribulation. And he's going to cause some things to happen, okay? Because why? He's going to be working under Lucifer. Okay, like I say, you think it's hard now. If you're struggling financially then, you can forget about it in that seven-year period. You can hang it up, okay? People who are multimillionaires and you know, I see some things, and I'll share this one day in the future, but people who have money are going to be not as much affected as far as when it comes to money, okay? Now, we talked about wars. There's going to be people dying from wars, okay? Famine. So these things is going to be, he said, the Bible says, and power was given to them, okay, over the fourth. Now, there's not over the entire earth, but certain parts of the earth are going to meet tragic, okay? Now, what parts of the earth? We don't know. Again, we won't be here. A lot of things in Revelation was not given to us in vivid detail. But, you know, the main purpose, the main point is that you don't want to be here. Okay, that's the main point. So, in other words, maybe some places, and in fact, I think this is the best example to use. We know that Africa has not been affected by this pandemic as much as the rest of the world. They haven't. Africa has the least cases of this virus than any other part of the world. So that's a perfect example of when we say and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. So over certain parts of the earth are more affected. Maybe it was Asia, Europe, maybe it was the U.S., but Africa was not as much affected. So when these type of things like pestilences, beasts, sword, war, famine, certain parts of the earth, economic ruin, okay, there's not enough money in a certain economy, so the economy is in ruin, it's just going to chaos. They're going to be affected. And so you know what happens when there's economic ruin. There's civil unrest. People say there's no money. People will go nuts. And who are they going to attack? They're going to begin to try to attack who? The people with money. That's who they're going to try to attack. Well, they got money. Well, guess what? The government is still going to be in control in these countries, and they're not going to permit you to attack the wealth, the rich. That's where the armies and the police forces are going to come in to prevent that. So if you want to get over there and beat up on each other or take each other out, that's what's going to more likely happen. Again, as I told you last week and this week, when anytime there's anything going on in the world that's not good, the poor people are affected. And this is what we see happening. Okay? This is Revelation, the 8th chapter. Revelation, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. Moving on to verse 9. Let me take a look at my notes. I don't want to get ahead of myself, okay? Got some scriptures to share with you. Let me just kind of take a look at some of these verses and see what they're saying. I got Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, verse 21 written down. Let's see what Ezekiel 14th chapter, verse 21. Let's see what it says. All right. It says in verse 21, it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast." And so we see that these tribulations are not new. These same common tribulations have been throughout history, whether it be for a short period of time or for a short season. We've seen them, okay? So it's not uncommon that these type of things, I've already given you an example. War was one of the main, World War One, World War Two. We see these things that has happened in the past, but we see them coming in a great way, unimaginable during this 7-year period of tribulation. Okay, so back to Revelation, the 7th chapter, 6th chapter, verse 6. I just want to cover that with you. I'm going to move on for the sake of time. I have another scripture, but we'll move on. One day we'll come back and get to cover this information. So let's move on to verse 9 of Revelation, the 6th chapter. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal," okay? Now, what's the fifth seal? Fifth seal is the martyred souls, right? More persecutions. Verse 9 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God Yahweh and for the testimony which they held." Now, remember, I told you that I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the world completely. I just refuse to believe that because of the power of the Most High. He's going to move out of the way, but he's going to still be here, okay? In some way, shape, form, or fashion, the Holy Spirit is going to still be here. And this is how people are going to be able to minister and to tell people about Christ and the Most High and his judgments, right? And people are going to hate them. And I gave an example last week of this pastor that was preaching out on the street, and people were attacking him. He was just preaching. And the people from the gay community began to attack him and say things, and they actually began to kind of push him. And one of the people had kicked him. And we see the hate, even I receive the hate. People don't like when you preach and they feel like, oh, you judging them or you don't love them and all these type of things. I've heard it all. That's not love. Okay, well, actually, it is love. It's not your type of love, but it is love, okay? And so when you think about these types of things that's going on in the world now, can you imagine what the church has been gone, taken home? All the people, they're going to be cutting up. And then for the people who are playing church that have not received salvation, that's going to be left behind, And for those that may have been taught right, but they decided not to do right, I was one of those persons back in the day. I was raised in the church, but it took me some time to receive salvation. I wanted to get in the world and do my own thing. I knew right from wrong, but I didn't choose Christ, okay? And these are probably going to be people who's going to eventually receive salvation. Why? One of the reasons is because most of them are not going to want to receive that mark of the beast, okay? Man, that's going to be really something when we get into that, when you receive that 666. You don't want to receive that mark, okay? Again, we won't be here, but for those that's going to be in that time period, man, well, I tell people, hey, go ahead and get saved now. Why go through all that and test the waters? No, go ahead and get saved now so you ain't got to deal with that, right? Okay, so you think about this. It says, the souls of them that were slain for the word. Who's the word? Christ. For the word, for the truth of God, and for the testimony which they held. Okay? And we know that one of the things that happens is they're beheaded. Their heads are cut off. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm just thinking in my mind, there's no telling what they're going to try to do. You know, they may put this stuff on YouTube or some type of video on the news and show these people being beheaded. Could you imagine something like that? Again, the Bible doesn't say that. That's just my thought. When I think about that, I'm like, man, they're going to be cutting their people's heads off. Can you imagine the world is going to be celebrating this? The world is going to be a sick place during this time. And so I'm thinking about this. I'm just like, man, I would not want to be here. And can you imagine the stress that people would be up under to be taken up and to be killed in that manner? You're watching other people before you, their heads just being chopped off. Again, you don't want to be here, okay? And so, but watch what it says in verse 10. It says, and they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Okay? They want revenge. Anybody would. Here's the thing. And I must share this with you because I remember when I was studying this last week, the scripture. I told you before, when you leave this world, your soul goes somewhere. Okay? And I've had a little discussion, debates about with people about when people die and things like that. You know, people have their own beliefs about what happens and when you leave this world. And so anyway, long story short, I just want to share this with you. People, when you leave this world, people may or may not know how they left this world, okay? And you say, well, what do you mean by that, okay? Well, if a person falls asleep and they leave this life, okay, the last thing they remember on the spiritual side is, hey, I went to sleep. What happened? Okay? Now, we're talking about those souls that go to work because, you know, we talked about death. What follows death? Hell. So those souls that are in hell, they realize that when they left this world, they were sleeping. Like, what happened? How did I end up in hell? Can you imagine falling asleep and waking up in hell? You couldn't imagine that. That's got to be something so horrible. And as Paul said, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what the Most High has for them. Well, don't you think it's the opposite for hell and the lake of fire? It's exactly the same. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered the hearts of men what's in hell or the lake of fire. Now, all these people told they didn't been to hell, they've been stopped. Okay? Christ gave a good example of hell when he talked about Lazarus and dies, which is the rich man. He gave a great description, okay? Hell is pain and torments, but nobody can tell you the imagination of hell. They can't. Because, for one, it wasn't meant for man. So we can't describe. It's a spiritual thing. So Paul said we can't describe the spiritual. When John went to heaven, he described what he saw according to the world. But he couldn't give you exactly how heaven looked. He used things on this earth to reference heaven. It's the same thing with hell. People can't imagine hell. Hell is unimaginable. So if you die in this world with us in a car wreck, the last thing you remember, you were probably in a car wreck. And now you're in hell. Maybe someone took your life. That's the last thing you remember. Can you imagine having that? In hell. Okay? So it was the same thing for these souls that went to heaven. They remember being what? Beheaded. That's the last thing they remember on this in this life. Now the body, the physical, your physical body, your brain doesn't remember the next thing that happens after that. When you leave this world, you know nothing that goes on after that. You don't know what your parents are doing, your children, your kids, your friends. You don't know the next thing that's going on after you leave this world. Not in this world, you don't. You remember the last thing that you probably did in this world, and that's it. That's it. And so you think about these souls. He said, Heavenly Father, we want you to judge them. We want you to take revenge on the souls that took our lives. That's what they were saying. Okay? Now, I had a little story I want to share with you, but I'm not going to really have the time. Maybe I'll just kind of briefly share it with you. We're going to move on. So we got quite a few scriptures. Verse 10. Okay, so we think about this. Okay, let me go on. And we think about the souls that were slain. Now, remember, this is also Revelation 20 and 4. You'll see these same souls up under the throne in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 4. Let's go there real quick. Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, Yeshua, and for the word of Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years." Okay, so real quick in that verse, when John said, "I saw thrones, and they that sat upon the thrones, and judgment was given unto them," that is believed to be the saints. That's the church. Okay, that's believed to be us in heaven. Okay, but then it talks about, "And judgment was given unto them." And then he said, "I saw the souls of them which were the saints that were in the great tribulation that didn't get raptured, okay, or caught up into heaven. These are the souls that believed after the great tribulation. And because they believed, they were what? Beheaded for the witness of Christ and the word of God, okay, and which had not worshipped the beast." Remember, you take that mark, you can hang it up. I don't care how hungry you get. I don't care how bad you need a job. I don't care how bad you want to go have fun, buy clothes, whatever you want to buy a car. The Bible says you will not be able to buy nor sell without the mark of the beast. You're going to have that mark either in your hand or your forehead. I don't care what the mark. I don't care if it's a chip. I don't care if it's a barcode. I don't care if it's a tattoo. If you have that name, that mark on you, you can hang it up. The lake of fire is where you have sealed your soul in the lake of fire. You are going to the lake of fire. The scripture said that. Okay, there's no way around it, no way out of it. You're going to the lake of fire. These particular souls chosen, now they were right. That's a hard thing to go and get your head cut off. But hey, I'd rather deal with that than to burn for all eternity in the lake of fire. It says, "Upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they live." Now watch this. What's going to happen? They're gonna be just like us. They're gonna get glorified bodies at the end of when Christ returns to get to, when He returns to take out on His enemies. Right before that 1,000-year reign, He's gonna give them new bodies. The Bible says that Paul said, "In the twinkling of an eye, they're gonna be changed. They're gonna get a new body. They're gonna be resurrected." And it says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years." So the church, the church age saints and the tribulation saints are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. See how beautiful that is? Amen. So back over to Revelation, the 10th chapter, 6th chapter, verse 10. Now we'll go to verse 11. We read verse 10. You know, it amazes me. I don't even get to touch on half the stuff that I write down, but that's okay. It's all right. It's all good. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move on. Okay, so we're talking about the martyrs who were killed on earth during the tribulation, right? So Christ also dealt with the martyr souls that were killed on earth during the tribulation. He talks about them over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 9 through 14. See if we can read it real quick. Watch this. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 9 through 14 says, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." We see that now with the church. The church is hated of all nations, believe it or not. We are. We're very, very hated around the earth. Don't think that we're not. We are hated. People have, they tolerate you because of different laws in certain countries. They really don't like you. Okay, they can't stand you. I've known that since I was a kid. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to get teased because we used to go to church. And my wife said the same thing. When she was young, they used to tease her about being in church. But you know what? I was talking to my brother that me and him was talking about that. I said, man, I'm so thankful for our parents raising us in church and raising us in the Word. It's such a blessing. And it's funny how the world will make you dislike that. They'll make you almost hate that you're a believer, that you're, well, not necessarily a believer, that you go to church, you know, as a kid. Because, man, we used to get teased so much about going to church. I remember the little girl used to tease me. She used to call me Christian. My name ain't Christian. It's Tim. But she used to tease me and call me Christian. but you grow through it. And you think about, man, how far you come. And you're so grateful for this salvation. You're so grateful. That's why it's important that the rightfully divided word goes forth, that we may teach the saints about the truth, okay? So anyway, Revelation, the 24th chapter, verse 10. It says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. We see that right now in the world today, all these false prophets. You see a lot of people on TV or just in church. They don't necessarily have to be in church, on TV. There's a lot of false prophets in the church. The spirit of Antichrist is working heavy in the world right now today. Okay, we see a lot of churches, a lot of people cutting up, you know, in the church, people not showing love. Okay, we see these things happening right now. But the Bible says, in that time, many shall what? Shall betray one another and hate one another. It's going to be a tough time to be around. It says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Okay, that's happening now. You know, I've seen this documentary one time. This pastor said he was gay. And he had been gay for years, and he's a pastor of the church, and his wife was still with him. I'm just sitting there just looking at the language. The Bible don't teach that. Nowhere in the Bible is that in the Bible. I hadn't seen that nowhere. The Bible doesn't support that at all. But you see all these different things that are going on in the world. Like I said, they're going to love it when we're gone. They're going to think we did something wrong. We've been punished. That's why we ain't here, why we were taken away. The Antichrist is going to come on. They're going to smooth talk everybody. See, they were punished. They're going to say all kinds of things about us being gone. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, okay, that's sin, and the love of many shall what? Wax cold. We see that happening today, leading up to that. Okay, I mean, I can go out today. I mean, people are so hateful and mean. People will scowl at you and look at you crazy. And I think the pandemic, it's funny I'm reading this scripture because today, you know, this man was looking at me crazy in his car. I'm like, okay, I wasn't the one that cut you off. The lady in front of you cut you off, but you're looking at me crazy. And it's just the way that people are, I think this pandemic is really messing with a lot of people. It says the love of many shall wax cold. I'm telling you, this thing is preparation for what's to come. Verse 13 says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay? This is the people during the tribulation. If they can endure to the end, they will what? Be saved. If they can go to the end and not accept that mark, if they can deal with the starving and get beheaded and not go to work, and then, I don't know, maybe they're going to live on the street, and maybe, I don't know what they're going to do. But if they can endure to the end, not accept that mark, that's the key. Don't accept that mark of the beast. You hear me saying it now. So if you don't want to believe, and we get caught up into heaven this next hour, next minute, you still be like, you know, he was saying something about this stuff. And that's what's going to happen. Some people are going to become saved. Endure to the end. Don't accept that 666. Don't accept no tattoos, no mark on your forehead, on your hand. And I don't know why they went on your hand. I guess they're going to need to see it when you go to work. You got to see it on your head or your hand. You got to show it. That's going to be amazing, man. I just got to give him praise and glory because, hey, we're not going to be here. Me, my family, my loved ones. I'm telling you and your loved ones, so you won't be here. Verse 14 said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 14 is referencing who? The 144,000. Okay, they're going to be given the word. They're going to preach into the world. The 144,000 is going to hit the true Israelites. The true Jews is going to be hit. Okay, they're going to start the Holy Spirit. They're going to start preaching the truth. They're going to see what's going to happen. The church is gone, and they're going to start believing and say, you know what? They were right. Okay, so back over to Revelation, the sixth chapter. Where are we at? Time to move along. Verse 11. Okay. And it says, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So this is probably going to take place throughout the 7-year period. This is not going to be all at one time. This is going to be throughout the tribulation. People are going to be receiving salvation, getting saved. And the 144,000 is going to be ministering. You're going to learn even more about the 144,000 in Revelation, the 7th chapter, next week. Okay, so let's go ahead and knock out these next few verses. I got a little bit more information I want to share with you about the Great Tribulation. Then we're going to go ahead and shut it down for this evening, okay? Let you get back to your life, okay? Amen. But we thank you all for listening. We're grateful for this platform. Again, we want to give a shout-out to Derek Oliver and Chaos Radio Talk team for blessing us with this opportunity to reach as many souls as we possibly can. The Bible says, well, there are two or three gathered in his name. He is in the midst. Amen. I know at least two or three are gathered. Amen. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for you guys taking out your busy schedule, your time, and your lives. Could be doing something else, but you're here hearing the word and being blessed because we want you to know. Paul said that we would have you to know, and brethren, we would not have you ignorant. We don't want you to be ignorant of the devices of mankind. Man has so many deceptions and so many distractions in the world to distract you from this. I mean, there's just so many distractions in the world to keep you from this information, to hide this from you. And so we are blessed and fortunate to be able to bless you with this word and give you this word this day. Amen. Okay. All right. So verse 12, what does it say? Amen. I got to go back to my notes because, again, I have so many notes, and I don't even get a chance to really go over everything, okay? I got this written down, so let's go check this out real quick. We got a little time. Philippians, the second chapter. Verse 17. Let's see what that's saying. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 17. Let's see what it says, okay? It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Okay? Amen. And so we say the same, you know, if we be offered, you know, amen. Right, we rejoice. We have to, because why? We know that a great reward is coming for the saints. If we just endure, if we just go through it and endure, we're going to be rewarded. Okay, Philippians the third chapter, verses 8-11. Let's see what it says. It says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." Amen. Yeshua, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Amen. That's the worldly thing. We count that as what? Loss. That I may what? Win Christ. Amen. We are chasing out the eternal life. Amen. We're running out for the eternities. Only what we do for what? For who? For Christ shall last. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, amen, which is of the law, amen. I'm not seeking to be a do-gooder, amen. We do good, amen. We walk in the Spirit. But what? He said, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, amen. In other words, your salvation don't come by what you do. It comes by your faith, what you believe. I believe in Christ. Verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. We look forward to that day, to the resurrection of Christ resurrecting the dead. Whether we be dead, we look for the resurrection. If we be alive, we look to be caught up with them. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and move on to verse 12. Amen. Amen. I'm just kind of just taking it all in. Amen. It's just, you know, Revelation chapter 6, you read the scriptures, but it's so much. I got so many notes, and I'm just really skipping over a lot of things. I'm not going to say that I would hate to, but It really seems like I need to drag this on into next week, but I'm going to do my best not to. Let's just go through the scriptures, and we'll come up. We'll just let this Holy Spirit use us, amen, just flow. We're not going to worry about it. If it takes us to next week, we've got to be obedient and do what the Word, do what the Most High says, amen. But I got to share this information with you. I believe it's good information. Amen. So, where are we at? Christ's revenge, amen. So the saints that were beheaded were asking for the revenge for Christ to take his vengeance. Is he going to take vengeance? You better believe he is. He's going to definitely take vengeance on those who have what they have done to the saints. Not only just to the saints in the Great Tribulation, but throughout the church age, throughout history, to all the unbelievers, even those that what pierced him. The Bible said that everybody's going to see him. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That's going to be a day. Amen. So Revelation 6 and 12, it says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, just the sixth seal. So remember, the seventh seal won't be opened up until Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, which is going to be silence, okay? But this is the last seal. I mean, this is not the last seal, but this is the sixth seal before the last seal. But it's the last seal in Revelation, the sixth chapter, okay? It said, he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Okay, now that's huge. It says a great earthquake. I've been studying this and reading this. I remember looking at it some years ago, but not really into details until now. This earthquake is going to be so huge that it is believed, theologians and scholars believe that the whole entire earth is going to shake, and that's going to be amazing. That's going to be something. I've not ever been in an earthquake, not anything that's worth mentioning. We've had tremors here in Texas. You know, some people from the West laugh at us when they say, my brother used to live in California. He used to tell us about how he'd be sitting at his desk, and the earth was shaking his desk. Things would actually move. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's a funny thing. He said, it's not funny at the time because it's serious because it can get pretty bad, but it's amazing how you just be sitting there and things, you'll be tripping. Like, did I just move? And you just feel like everything just slides. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And so we've had tremors in Texas. I know what he said. I remember one time I was at work, and if you know where Dallas or when I used to work in Irving, a little tremor came through in Las Colinas, and it was just like a little minor shake. And I know he's talking about, like, wow, did I just move? And it'll freak you out a little bit. But can you imagine this great earthquake that's going to take place? And you think about the lives throughout history. I think here within the past 5 or 10 years, there was a great earthquake, I think in Haiti, I believe. And the many people that was lost. The tribulation is not going to be any joke. It's not going to be nothing light, nothing to play with. This earthquake is going to, it says a great earthquake. We can't imagine, you know, I just can't imagine. I think about some of the shows that we watch on TV, and again, I have to separate my speculation and my mindset from the Word so people won't actually think, well, he said this. No, I didn't say that. This is my thinking, okay? I have to make sure I clarify that. This is my thinking. Can you imagine having seeing this large split in the earth? No telling how big it is. I mean, even if it's a mile long or half a mile or even if it's a football field long or even half a football field, that's something that I've never seen. I couldn't imagine a split or the earth quaking that bad, breaking up that bad. That's going to be amazing. I'm telling you, man, you're just not going to want to be here. And I know I keep saying that, but you're not. You know, you cannot prepare. Nothing can prepare you for the great tribulation. And the tribulation, let alone the great tribulation, you can definitely not believe that that last 3.5 years, and this is what we're talking about here. We're getting into the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. We start talking about these things. And it says, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. These are now you begin to see the judgments, the physical disturbances on earth, things that are just amazing. The Bible said that the moon became as blood. And I remember the sister saying something like that. She said, she's saying, you know, Tim, have you been seeing the one of my customers? She was saying, You've been seeing the, you know, it's funny because you hear some customers that they're woke. They hear, they be talking about some of the stuff. Like, and, you know, I can't say anything back to, but I just be listening to them and say, yeah, you know, we ain't seen anything like this. The moon turning blue. And it's good to hear some people in the faith that's talking about this stuff. It's like, okay, they know what's going on. Some people out here that know what's going on. The moon, she talked about how we've been seeing in years. And I know when we used to do our deliveries in the AM, we used to see those blood red moon. Now, it's not really blood red. It's kind of like more reddish. It is a little, like, I guess because of the way the sun hits it on the other side of the earth, it makes it like it's kind of red, a reddish orange or a reddish color. And so can you imagine, the Bible said that it became as blood. It's going to be actually red. Man, you know, this is just some physical disturbances on earth. The earth is being judged, okay, the judgment of the earth. And like I said, this is just brief stuff that John gave. He tried to do the best that he can to give us this word and to wake us up and say, hey, man, these things, this is what he described, what he saw. Like, man, you know, this is going to be some things that's going to, like, make people, like, what is really going on? But these are going to be the unbelievers that's going to witness these things. The judgment is going to be on them, okay? And so you think about that, Revelation 16 and 18. It talks about that great earthquake, okay? And so just a lot of things. That's the Joel. I'm just going to give you the scriptures for the sake of time. Maybe one day I get to go back and revisit this. Joel, the second chapter, verse 10 and 11. It talks about it. In fact, I have to read this because I got to start by it. I got to read this because it's important. But Joel talks about eschatology. He talks about the end things, the end time events. So let's go there real quick. And I'll probably just summarize and have to come back and do Revelation out of the sixth chapter. But I'm going to have to summarize because in studying Revelation, the sixth chapter, I was just like, man, this is massive. This is a lot of information. So Joel, the book of Joel, I have to find, you know, the book of Joel is a book that I hide from you. it's a book that's real hard to find. So see if I can find the book of Joel. One of the little small books over there in the Old Testament, right before you get to the New Testament, you have to really kind of dig deep. I should have had it bookmarked, so I may have to. Let me just give you the scriptures, and one day I'll just come back and read it. But it's Joel, the second chapter, verse 10 and 11, and also verses 31 and 32. I want to read because I knew it was something very important I want to share. And also, oh, man, it's a lot. I'll come back and revisit. That's a lot of truth. I'll come back and revisit Joel because it's a lot. Because Joel, I gave a prophecy about the Revelation, about the thing that's happening in Revelation that John also talked about. And, again, we were talking about the judgments of Christ on the earth, okay? And so we're going to move on to Revelation, the sixth chapter, verse 13. But before we do, I want to look at Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 19. Okay, read what it says real quick. Revelation 19, the 19th verse, it says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies." I have to read that before I get to the next few verses to end out. But I'll come back and revisit the book of Joel to kind of do that one day. But those scriptures, is again, Joel, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11, verse 31 and 32, and then Joel, the third chapter, verse 2, and then verses 12 through 14. I really want to read those scriptures, but amen. We're going to go and move on so we can finish our Revelation, the sixth chapter. We know you want to move on. I don't want to be doing Revelation next year at this time. I want to go ahead and get this done. We'll be talking about some other things in Revelation, but the entire book. I just want to just give you some knowledge about Revelation to help you study and to learn it. And to so therefore you can do your own in-depth study. Share it with the world. I highly encourage you. Share this information with the world. Share it with family, friends. This is what this is for, to bring about salvation, okay? Verse 13 says, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind." Amen. So, you know, Revelation is a very symbolic book. And the funny thing about Revelation is when you begin to read different books and study, it kind of gets a little challenging because most people would give, you know, they have different thoughts from other people is what I'm saying. I kind of shared that last week. So we have to be careful about interpreting Revelation. So one of my best methods that I use to interpret scriptures is I definitely exegete. I don't eisegete, meaning that I use the scripture to interpret. I don't try to use my own opinion of it. So, it's kind of not a good thing to do that. But, you know, again, we all do the best that we can, as I stated last week, to give you the word. You know, I don't believe that anybody who studies the Bible and death intentionally gives incorrect information. We all do the best that we can. Even the people that I've read that have conflicting information that I may agree with one book and disagree with another book, I don't believe that people intentionally, there are some that are that are intentionally misinterpreting the word, but we do the best that we can to give you the word. Amen. So I encourage people, do your own study and research and come to your own spiritual conclusion. Hopefully we are in agreement of the word. Amen. Okay. So anyway, what I want to say about this, Revelation, the 13th chapter, says, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs. When she is shaken by a mighty wind. Some believe that this is going to be actual stars falling. So not necessarily, maybe possibly falling to earth, but the stars, I'm quite sure we have all seen a shooting star, but basically I take that to mean that stars are going to move out of place. The stars are going to, it's going to be amazing to see that. I know we see one shooting star, but to see stars move, and stars move very quickly. You know, when you see a shooting star, it's neat. It's like in a split second, it's like, wow, you see that? And so can you imagine the stars moving out of place? That's going to be amazing to, again, this is going to be some amazing physical disturbances, not only on the earth, as I just mentioned, but now you see in the heavens those physical disturbances. And that's basically what this is that John is saying. There are physical disturbances in the natural, on earth, in the heavens, and meaning in the space and the stars and the darkness that we see, how there's going to be physical disturbances. Again, the judgment of Christ is going to be powerful, okay? So Revelation 6 and 14 says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Amen. Again, you know, more symbolic interpretation of Revelation. You know, most believe that this is not actual mountains. When I studied and researched it, and especially when I begin to conclude verses 15, 16, and 17. So let me go and read verses 14, 15, 16, 17, then I'll interpret them all together, because when I first read it, it's like, huh, you know, because the Bible can be a very challenging thing. That's why we have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for clarification, do our research, amen, to understand, well, what does the Bible say? So let me read 14, 15, 16, 17, then we'll get ready to shut it down, okay? Verse 14 says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? That verse 17 sums it up. That verse 17 is so powerful. Though it's short and sweet, it's so powerful. It says, for the day of the wrath has come. Again, that's talking about the last 3.5 years of his wrath. Remember, I told you there's the tribulation, the whole 7-year period, but the last 3.5 years is what I call the great tribulation. That's the day of the Lamb. That's the day of Christ. His wrath is going to be so great and powerful that they said, the unbelievers said, and who shall be able to stand? Now, it's something that they realize, that all that they've done wrong, what they've been doing, who can stand? You know, and I'll share this with you. You know, when I used to read this when I was young, a long time ago, I'll share with my interpretation what I thought it was years ago. Now, it doesn't mean that I could be far-fetched or I could be wrong, but this is what my interpretation was. gospel of the world. And this is still part of the credit. I'm going to give you the both sides of the term. I'm going to give you my personal term. Then I'm going to interpret what the scripture said. My interpretation was that those who didn't act right and didn't believe that the actual rocks and mountains, they're going to ask them to fall on them. And that when heaven opened up, that they're going to see the face of him that sat on the throne, the Most High. And his face is fierce. And I know I've shared this before in church. I'm going to share this real briefly. I remember when one of my sons, when he was a little bitty baby, you know, I was a little new to this thing. And he was my oldest son. And when he was a kid, I was playing with him, laughing. You know, just being, you know, a young man, not really. Just being a young man. I said, huh, he sure was smiling at me. I said, I wonder if I make a frown at him, what will he do? I made a grimacing frown at him like I was mad at him. He began to cry. That shocked me. I'm like, wow. I said, he is smart. He really knows what he understood. And I believe at this time he's like almost a year. He's like 6 or 8 months. But the knowledge of a baby at that time, the point that I'm making is he was afraid of my grimacing, fierce face. And so can you imagine the Most High showing his fierce face and people are going to be so afraid of him. That they're going to be running. And so that's what I believe the interpretation years ago meant when I read that. But now that I've read it and studied it, I'll give you the interpretation of it. Okay, so verse 14, again, is believed you're still seeing as a conclusion to verses 12 and 14, the physical disturbances of the earth. Okay, because we're dealing with the sixth seal. So it's still part of the physical disturbances, okay, when it says that every mountain island were moved out of their places. So that means that, you know, there's going to be physical disturbances on the earth. Again, the details of it, John doesn't really go into detail, so we can only speculate, and there are other scriptures to support that there were physical disturbances in the past, and I have some scriptures. I'll share one of them with you. Let me see if I can find it. I guess I'm going to have to come back and really touch up on this child. Like I said, I have so much fear that I want to share. But now I'm just kind of just going over it. So therefore, we won't prolong Revelation, the sixth chapter. But there are other scriptures to support physical disturbances on the earth. So it's not nothing new. It's happened also in the past. These are just judgments of the Most High. And so verse 15 talks about, and the kings of the earth. Now, who do you think the kings of the earth is? We're talking about the people who are in control. You're talking about your actual presidency, princes, kings, queens, the people all on the earth that rule these countries, that who serve Lucifer and Satan. We know how they've gotten into these positions. They sold their soul. They serve Lucifer. They're unbelievers. They hate the Most High. They hate Christ, the elites of the world, the elite families of the world, the Illuminati or whoever you want to call them. This is who it's talking about. And the kings of the earth and the great men, who are great men, the people who serve upon them, whether they be people who are ambassadors for these countries, or maybe they're still kings and queens, people who are family members of the royal family. You got military men who are considered great men. And then it says, and rich men. You got rich men who are poor. You see it right now in the world. Now you got rich people who are trying to call shots in nations, make people take vaccines and make people take drugs. And they're helping to push this worldly agenda that's basically ruled under Lucifer, under Satan. And it says, and the rich men, and the chief captains, again, people in military, you know, high-ranking military men that call shots. And it says, and the mighty men, amen, that's all of them. It says, and every bond man, and every free man. So now, as you can see, and I'm going to give you a scripture, and I read it before, Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Verse 4, I believe. No, it's not verse 4. I'm going to go over that real quick. I got a little time to go over that. But I'm going to go over that right now. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Let's go over that real quick. You're going to see Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 12. John said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, that's at the great white throne. This is the unbelief being judged. You see these same people here in Revelation 6 and 15, from rich to poor. Big, small, whoever they are. John said, I saw men. He said, I saw men, right? Rich and poor, big and small. In other words, whoever they were, small and great, you can be from the poorest man on earth to a nobody to the most famous person in Hollywood or on earth. He said, I saw them all, right? This is the same thing in Revelation 6 and 15. And every free man hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains. Now, this part right here is the one that kind of gets a little, the interpretation, because again, some believe that when it says the dens and the rocks and the mountains, some of you may be aware that there are, that the government has secret places in the earth. There are actual cities, I've heard, in the earth. Isn't that something? Cities in the earth, in mountains. They got a place where they can go and hide in the earth. So it's a possibility that this is what John saw. Some believe that this just represents, when it says rocks and mountains, believe the government systems, which would still be, again, these different places that they have to hide, to go and hide. Again, there will be no place on earth that you will go and hide from Christ. It is no such thing. You can't hide from him. He said, and they said that, and he said that, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. So they saw something, whether it was Christ, when he's returning back to take it out on his enemies, which that's what is believed, or if they actually saw the Heavenly Father on the throne. We don't know. We won't know until the time is revealed. But know this, that if you believe, you're going to actually be with Christ. So we will get the witness that we will know. And that's why the Bible said we prophesy in part and we know in part. But we will really know when Christ returns, right? It won't be a question about anything because you will know in detail at that time, right? But I just want to share that with you. It says, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So, again, you see the interpretation of both who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were afraid. It's too late now. He's going to come back and judge, and he's going to take it out on those armies of the world. That's why I have to read to you Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 19. Verse 17 says, and I've already read, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. That concludes Revelation 6. You know what? As I told you before, eschatology in the book of Revelation, I can teach this for the rest of my life because, man, there's, and I am, I'm going to make this a thing to where after I finish the book of Revelation, I'm going to come back and dig into this thing and give you, there is so much information. And I think sometimes, you know, my wife kind of gets on me about, you know, the time that I put into because it kind of takes from her, amen. But she know I love her and everything I'm doing this for the ministry and for the saints, for the church, for the return of Christ. It does. It seems like sometimes when I study so many hours, I feel like it's over. I don't feel that way, but sometimes when I kind of present it, she's like, man, I ain't even touch on one verse. I may only give you 25 or 50% of what I want to share with you, but it's all good. One day I'm going to get to come back and I may just do a chapter, a series on a chapter, and therefore I have time to get a little bit more in depth and show you how it relates to the world and everything. But I'm just giving you an overview of Revelation is what I'm doing so that you can see, to open up, to let you know, hey, this is something that you can understand and know and learn and interpret. And so I'm so glad for you guys listening. So I'm fixing to get ready to shut it down. I am so grateful for this opportunity to share with you. Again, man, I just can't wait to get a little bit more deeper into Revelation, but I'm loving this. I'm really enjoying it. Hopefully this is blessing someone. Again, Romans 10, 9, and 10, I'm praying for your salvation. We love each and every one of you. We are preparing the church. Take this knowledge and share it with people. I highly encourage you. I tell you, it's given to me to give to you, to give to someone else. Amen. It's not for me to just harvest it myself and just keep the information to myself. He gave it to me to share it to the world. As Paul said, Paul gave it to Paul said, you know, brother, I have you not what? Ignorant. But we want you to be able to share and to bless the world and to bless the nations with this. Next, we will be doing the 144,000. The book of Revelation 7 chapter is a lot lighter than Revelation 6. So I'm just kind of noticing I'm studying it that it's not as much information and detail. So it'll be a little bit easier next week. But again, we got all the time. Hopefully we have some time until we come back. But then again, you know, we don't know. But until then, we're definitely going to run on and see what the end is going to be and bless you with the word of salvation. So we're going to get ready to close out. And family, hopefully if you were blessed spiritually, we hope that you come back next week. Again, remember the plan of salvation, Romans 10:9-10. If you want to become saved, you want to know how to escape the wrath that's coming, the punishment and judgment that's coming upon the earth in the great tribulation, and definitely the wrath of the Lamb. You definitely don't want none of that. We think the Antichrist and Lucifer is going to be something, but man, that's what I'm telling you. John gave us only so much, man. Christ is going to turn it upside down. The Most High, when he come back, oh my goodness, man. I'm so glad I'm saved. People talk about Lucifer, the devil, please. That ain't what you need to be afraid of. I tell you, when Christ come back. But family, remember, thank you for listening. Remember, you are blessed. I am blessed by the best, the Most High. Family, you are royalty. I am royalty. Family, until next time, stay blessed. Bless the kingdom and have a good night. I will be back on the air on my Reign Love Ministries starting tomorrow night when we'll be teaching on John. Man, I forgot to give you guys this information. But if you can listen, I'll give you more information next week. Hopefully you'll tune in. It's on Blog Talk Radio under Reign Love Ministries. I'll be on at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Family, be blessed. It'll also be on Chaos Talk, Blog Talk page on Facebook under Derek Oliver. He said he will be able to post that for me. I thank him for that. Family, I love you all. Be blessed. Until next time, I love you.